Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi. My name is Adina Schmidman. We find ourselves in exceedingly challenging times. In an effort to connect daily through tefillah and learning, please sign up to join the OU Tehillim call at 1 p.m. Eastern at ou.org/tehillimcall. May our tefillos and learning be a schus for the safe and speedy return of our captives, for the healing of our wounded, the safety of our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, and help to protect all those fighting on the front lines. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Wien, and we'll be studying Megillat Esther, perek Gimel, perek 3. So in our approach to Megillat Esther, as a insight, as a spotlight into the shift in our national identity from our childhood chinuch phase, called the nighttime, to our adult phase, where we have to stand up for our values and sacrifice for them. And that's called the dawn, because the ideas of the chinuch phase are beginning to truly penetrate our mind and enlighten us, and we begin to understand who we are and our values and how different they are from so many other societies, and how that translates into such a completely and totally different life experience. And in most cases, a much, 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 much better one. Our values of chesed, think about them. Just go to a hospital, see a Jewish person, somebody from a firm community that has a huge infrastructure of chesed organizations, laying there in bed, and the parade of people with the visitors and the Bikur Cholim food and the guitar players and the endless support nebuch next to someone who doesn't have any of that. And you say, such different lives. Where does it come from? Because we have a value system of chesed and a value system of community and a value system of tzedakah. And it started all the way back. And these messages have been internalized, and they change the way, they change our lives. So we've been learning about this idea. And then we learned in Perek Beis that Kodesh Baruch Hu isn't angry or fed up or disappointed in Am Yisrael, and that's why there's no Nisam and Nevuah. We learned that this, in the adult phase, the parent steps back in order to give the child the opportunity to grow into who they're meant to be. And this is what the deeper meaning is, that HaMelech put the Keter Malchut, his crown, on Esther's head, meaning that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Am Yisrael, in this long journey of Hester Panim, this long Golas journey, we have upon ourselves the role to carry and to bring and to represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. We're the queen, so to speak. The Keter Malchus is Hashem's Malchus, we've talked about the concept of a Melech, that Melech is someone that you allow and choose and desire that they should influence you. So we carry the responsibility of bringing the world to a place and time where everyone will desire and yearn for the influence of the divine truths to reach them. And Mashiach will be that great influence, where Yeshayahu explains it. And then when we're looking into that sort of time period where we're heading towards this distinction that will be made between truths, the right way to live, divine ideas as revealed to ultimately, originally to Avos Nimos and eventually to Am Yisrael, how those ideas will completely obliterate, destroy, and neutralize the alternative. Now, the alternative is called Haman. Okay, the Haman character in the Megillah story is not just a person. So first of all, we know he comes from Agag. We know that Haman is a Maleki, and that's our worst enemy. But Chazal tell us something even deeper. Gemara says, Haman min HaTorah minayin. Where is the source for Haman in the Torah? Because we know Megillat Esther was written way after the first Tkufa, our childhood, and all the other Sfarim were written. And it was a story that took place in Persia, Iran. Sounds familiar, just like today. And but is there a hint to this story in the Torah? So Chazal say, yes. You know where the hint to Haman is? Hamin ha'eitz asher tzivisicha lo tochol mino achalta. From the tree that I commanded you not to eat from, did you eat? Okay. So Chazal are linking Haman right back to the Yitzhadas. So what we're looking at here at the Haman story, we are looking at the very, very essence of the concept of chet. Chet originates with the concept of the Yitzhadas. And what we're looking at is how chet operates and how chet implodes and what the essence, the ultimate worst, most evil form of opposition to the influence of Hashem, the greatest resistance to any influence of God, the extreme opposite, the one that wants to cut God out completely and take control for themselves and not be influenced by anything except their own stimuli and instant gratification needs. How that grows and gets empowered, and then how that eventually, that whole bubble pops, and what makes it pop. So that's what we're looking at. Let's break this down. Let's go back to the Chet Eitz Hadas. And I just want to mention here that I have just launched a course called V'nishma for all of us living the Vinasa lifestyle. We often feel that it's time for a little more understanding. And it is a very interesting course. I'm not going to waste time on this this recording to tell you about it, but you can go to estherwein.com. And this idea of the Eitz Hadas and all the ideas I've talked about are laid out in a most organized fashion in this course, estherwein.com. In any case, let's go back to the Eitz Hadas. The ultimate sin, the sin which is the mother of all sins, which is described in the very, very beginning of the Torah, is called the Eitz Hadas Tovara. Let's go past the idea of one man and one woman. Hashem gave them one command and they couldn't keep up with and keep it up and they failed. There's something much deeper going on. The man and the woman is every human being, different parts of our psyche. There's a force called Ish and a force called Isha. Go back to the Shir HaShirim series and you'll learn about it. And we have in us two forces, and it's really the way we think. And each one of us is challenged every single day with not eating from the Eitz Hadas. Well, what does that mean? The Eitz Hadas Tov Vara. So it's not beyond being a tree. The concept of eating from a tree means getting your life force, getting your sustenance, right? Getting your food. So there is a channel for our life sustenance. There is a source for our life sustenance, for our life's vitality, for our life force, called Das Tov V'Ra, the knowledge of good and bad. What that means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up a world where there is emes and there is sheker. There is true reality and there's what is not true. And what is emes is tov. And what is sheker is ra. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't eat from the tree of Eitz Hadas Tov Ra, meaning, do not get your vitality from your own conclusions and your own assumptions and your own decisions and how of what is good and bad. Because in the end, if you do that, you will die, which does not necessarily mean you'll die on that day. It means if you look around the world, the material world that I created, which you see with your eyes and you apprehend with your five senses, and you only let the information that you see and that you take in with your five senses be the source of what you think about and what you analyze and what you logic about, what you use your logic to decode and to understand. If you start trying to understand the world from the material aspect, from what you see, for how things look to you, you're going to die. What that means is the first conclusion you're going to come to is, oh my goodness, I've looked around this world and you know what I noticed? there's a lot of life. There's everybody's giving birth, animals are giving birth through the seasons, you know, there's constantly, everything is growing, but you know what? Everything dies. And I'm going to die. And you will begin relating to yourself as a death-bound creature. And when you relate to yourself like that, your entire perspective is going to shift. You're going to forget that you're eternal. You're going to forget that you're part of a greater reality. You're going to forget that you have a part in you called the neshama, which is connected to the influence, the flow, the hashpa, the shefa of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is eternal. You're going to forget all that. And you're just going to conclude that the way, what you see and what you touch and what you can understand, and what you, you know, through your scientific methods, that that's what it is. And you're going to start relating to yourself as a vulnerable creature that has to protect themselves from death. And also as a temporary creature who might as well enjoy yourself, because we're all going to die. We call this survival mode. Survival mode comes from looking at the world and drawing our own conclusions, which are super limited based on only the material reality we see. Survival mode is driven by two major forces. A, self-preservation. How do I get my needs met? And when I'm trying to get my needs met, I can't worry about anyone else but me. And I'm always on the alert for anybody who can threaten me and get in the way of me getting my needs met. And one of my needs might be that I'm taken seriously. There are many needs. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be abandoned. I don't want to be irrelevant. I don't want to be weak. I have to make myself the kind of person that people listen to and people take seriously so I can get my needs met. And I'm always on the alert for any threat to that. So it's self-preservation. The other need, the other perspective that kicks in is called self-indulgence. Why should I say no to myself? We're going to die. I'm going to die. What's the difference? Who cares if I'm a little fatter or a little skinnier? I ate this. I didn't eat that. Who cares? And if I don't get caught, not my problem. So Hashem says, no. Don't open your physical eyes and look around the world and draw conclusions based on just what you see, because this is not the whole story. The material world is not the whole story. As we see in the Purim story, there's so much behind the scenes. Don't draw conclusions by what things look like to you, because you're not seeing the big picture. And then you're going to end up in survival mode, and you're going to be driven by fears and desires. Now, how bad does that get? That tree, that ha'etz, it becomes the Hitlers of the world. Fears and desires. I want to set this world up on my terms, and nobody will stop me. And anybody that I sense is a threat to me is gone. Every dictator purges all their people every few years. And desire. Every indulgence. Because I'm allowed to. Because I'm setting the world up on my terms, according to how I see things, without any regard for what might be a greater truth beyond me. So, the worst of the worst is the Hitlers of the world. Yes, the Hamans of the world. That's Hamin Ha'etz. You ate from that tree. You slipped into the worst form of survival mode, where you decided that you have to kill every single Jew, even Mordechai, just to survive. It says in the right, the Megillah tells us, he said, I can't even handle Mordechai. If I see him, it ruins my life. I need him gone for me to have things my way and to indulge my own comfort zone. That's how bad it gets. So in the end, there's going to be a power struggle. The struggle between Esther and Haman. The struggle to channel Hashem's great truths into the world, which only can happen if we open up our minds to Torah ideas, ideas about the Tzel Melekim of every person, ideas about, as we said, Chesed and Rachamim and Emes and Tzedek and Mishpat, all of the ideas, justice and kindness, and the idea that we're not here only materially. That's why we have Shabbos. We have a day where we stop and we reconnect to our eternal part of ourselves. Those Esther concepts that we are going to insist and fight for and die for, and insist that are the real truths. As we go through Golas, we are going to represent those ideas, and then we're going to have an opponent, and the opponent is going to say, it's going to be the Hamans of the world saying, this world, leave us alone with all these big ideas. We want to live here right now, and whoever is more powerful wins. Survival of the fittest. Hitler said, in Mein Kampf, something sort of like this. The Jews are the conscience of mankind. Okay, he hated that. He considered it an evil that we have perpetrated upon the world. A higher truth, noble, spiritual, godly ideals that tell you don't take someone else's stuff. Say no to yourself for the benefit of someone else. They hated that. It was self-indulgence, without limit. So that's where Haman comes from. So the ultimate battle that the Megillah is setting us up for now is the battle of Esther against Haman. The influence of divine ideas that penetrate into the material world and penetrate and affect the way we eat and the way we our compromises to build families and how we treat each other and how we set up chesed organizations and how we conduct ourselves as a community and how just every single thing. Those ideas versus the survival of the fittest idea. That's the big battle. And in this Perek Gimel, we're seeing how Haman is now getting stronger and stronger because this tendency and these types of societies and these types of attitudes, they get very emboldened. And sometimes they are so emboldened, they even get to express themselves like Hitler and the Holocaust, unfortunately. But in the end, they always burst. The bubble always bursts. And in the end, as we said, Esther is a glimpse, Megillas Esther, at the light at the end of the historic tunnel. There will be this great showdown. And all the survival mode attitudes and the worst enemies that represent them and that have embraced them, they will also implode. The mashal, we like to think about, Iran, same idea. We will annihilate the Jews. We cannot tolerate them on the planet with us. We're going to build a nuclear weapon. Imagine if they go through all that effort, just like Haman. And then they try to detonate it, and it detonates upon their own heads. That's what happened to Haman. Teaching the world that this survival mode, this evil, is a bubble that will pop. And in the end, the great reality will be the only reality left. Thank you for listening. And one second. I'm going to close this by saying thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas Rose Foreman, Razel Rachel Bat Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin Rachel Bat Shlomo.